let's take our Bibles and go to the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. In our previous session, we saw the different resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ on the day after his resurrection. These were the first appearances of Jesus Christ to human beings, and I've been careful to make that distinction because there is biblical evidence that he also witnessed to the spirit realm in his resurrected body. So it's very possible that even prior to showing himself to Mary Magdalene, that he appeared unto the spirit realm. That's talked about in Peter. But to mankind, we saw he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, and he appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. By the time the two got back to Jerusalem, which was about a 7-mile journey, he had also appeared to Peter. Whether he appeared to Peter before he showed himself to the two on the road to Emmaus or after that, the Bible doesn't specify, but quite probably it was before, prior to his appearance to the two on the road to Emmaus. And then concluding the events of the 18th of Nisan recorded in the Bible was his appearance to the 11 apostles and some other disciples who were behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. The 11 apostles, of course, were every one of them minus Thomas. And Jesus Christ, in that appearance, had given instruction to them to return to Galilee, which they then did. And we're starting in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." This is their return to Galilee. Evidently, Thomas joins them in Galilee because this next resurrection appearance is recorded in John chapter 20. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And we'll see what it says in verse 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came." This is on the around sunset on the 18th of Nisan. "The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." It's quite a definite statement that Thomas called Didymus makes, isn't it? It's this particular statement that has gotten this man labeled as doubting Thomas. I think people even that are not very familiar with the Bible have heard the expression being a doubting Thomas. But really, when you start working God's Word, Thomas was not beset with any greater amount of doubt than the rest of the apostles. They all at various times had their doubts. You know, as we saw, the one man who seemingly understood Jesus Christ crucifixion and resurrection was Joseph of Arimathea. But all of the other apostles certainly demonstrated their doubts at different times. But here, Thomas just says, "Look, I want proof." In verse 26, "And after 8 days, again his disciples were within." This is in Galilee. It says, "And Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you." So this is the next recorded resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ in the Bible. This, you would call this the fifth recorded resurrection appearance in Galilee. Jesus Christ appears in the midst. This is to all 12 apostles because Thomas Didymus has joined the company. Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believe." Jesus was aware of what Thomas had stated previous, so now he's giving him the proof. And he's saying, don't be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Or a better translation of this is, "My godly Lord." This is certainly a recognition, a great reverence shown to Jesus Christ of his position as Lord of Thomas's life. It says in verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." When you stop and think about it, those of you that are listening to this class at this time, those of us that are alive and remain here upon earth as Christians, we really are addressed in verse 29, aren't we? And what does the word say? It says that we're blessed. None of us have seen the Lord. None of us have put our finger in his nail prints or thrust our hand into his side where they had thrust a spear into his side. Isn't that terrific? He says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We're blessed. We sure are. In fact, Ephesians tells us we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. And look at what verse 30 says. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. What verse 30 tells us is that Jesus Christ made other resurrection appearances during those 40 days. He was in the presence of his disciples that are not recorded. But then verse 31 continues, but these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Verse 31 is a terrific verse as far as the purpose of the written word. You know what? God's word was written down. These things are written so that ye might believe. And it's not just that you should believe anything, but that you should believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Get it straight. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's not God, but he is the Messiah. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we're to believe, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that because we believe concerning him, that we have life through his name. Boy, what a tremendous section of Scripture. So the fifth resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ that's recorded is to the 12 apostles, all 12 apostles assembled in Galilee. It's mentioned, the one that we just read is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is a very wonderful section of Scripture to read at this time concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it says, moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, ye are delivered, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then in verse 5, and he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Now, verse 5 is a reference to the record that we just read about his appearance unto the 12 apostles 8 days later in Galilee. What isn't mentioned in this particular listing of resurrection appearances, there is no mention of his first appearance, that to Mary Magdalene, and there's also no mention of his appearance to the two on the road to Emmaus. Those are mentioned in the Gospels. Now, his appearance to Cephas, or to Peter, is mentioned in the Gospels, and it's mentioned in this list of 1 Corinthians 15, and then of the 12. Let's go back to John chapter 21, and we will see another resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 1 of chapter 21, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias." That's the Sea of Galilee. "And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples." This is a total of 7, five of which are named, five of which are of the 12 apostles, and then two other unnamed disciples. So this resurrection appearance is by the Sea of Galilee to 7 of his disciples, 5 of which were apostles. Verse 3, it says, "Simon Peter saith unto them," he says unto the other 6, "I go a fishing." You know, this is kind of an interesting record because, remember, Jesus Christ had called Peter, he called the others, to be fishers of men. But at this point in time, what's Peter doing? Peter's returning to his old fishing business. They said unto him, "We also go with thee." You know, Peter was a leader. They were following his lead. So the other 6 said, "Yep, we'll go fishing with you." So they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught how much? Nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, "Children, have ye any meat?" Referring to, have they caught anything? They answered him, "No." And he said unto them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. What a record! They'd been fishing all night. How much did they caught? Nothing. You know, the overall context here is that Peter, and then leading the others, that they got impatient. They hadn't seen Jesus for a while. So they, you know, wondering what's going on. They said, "Oh, let's go back to the fishing business." Jesus Christ shows up, tells them where to cast their net, and look at what they get. They weren't able to draw the net for the multitude of fishes. "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It's the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread." Wow. "Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. Man, large fishes, great fishes, 153 of them. And for all there was so many, yet was not the net broken. That's miraculous. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing it was the Lord. Jesus then comes and takes bread and gives them, and fish likewise. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. The first time that he showed himself to this particular group, including the apostles, was that night, ending the 18th of Nisan at supper. The second time was after 8 days when all 12 of them were together in Galilee. Now this is the third time. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? You know what this is? This is very loving, but very definite reproof. And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. This is talking about young male lambs. You know what that is when he says, Feed my lambs? That's correction. You know, he reproves Peter, saying, Peter, do you love fishing more than you love me? Peter responds, You know I love you. So Jesus Christ says, Well, since you do, feed my lambs. You know, do the work that I've called you to, Peter. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. And he said unto him, Feed my sheep. And this is talking about young female lambs. You know, feed the word of God that I've given you, Peter. You know, you need to help the flock. I've called you to minister. Don't forsake me by returning to your secular pursuits, but you have a spiritual ministry to carry out. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Could you imagine what's going through the heart of Peter at this point? Third time. Saying, Peter, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And this is the word that would connotate adult sheep, you know, grown, not lambs, but grown sheep. In other words, three times Jesus Christ reproves Peter for returning to the fishing business. And three times he says, Feed my people God's word. This is what you've been called to do, Peter. You know, this is not too far away. This particular resurrection appearance isn't too far away from the great day of Pentecost. You know, that Jesus Christ knows that looms on the horizon. And for his will, for his ministry, for his purposes to be manifested unto Israel and to the uttermost part of the earth, it's going to require faithful men. It's going to require men like Peter and the others that are assembled here to be faithful to carrying forth the word, just like it is now. Verse 18, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, you clothed yourself, and walkedest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and shalt gird, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. You know, really, this verse speaks of mature Christian responsibility. You know, when you're younger, you can kind of flip around, do some things. You know, maybe you're trying to figure it out. Maybe you don't have much responsibility. But man, when you start growing up and becoming mature in Christ, you know, you have a responsibility to do what God would have you to do. Not your own will, but thine be done. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me. you know, what a tremendous example of reproof and correction at a very vital time for Peter's life. Follow me. This is the same calling that Jesus Christ had called Peter with a year previous. Remember, he said, you know, drop your nets and follow me. And they forsook their nets and followed him during that year. So Jesus Christ shows in his resurrected body, in this next resurrection appearance, what an incredible responsibility he's now delegated to his apostles and disciples. Verse 20, then Peter, turning about, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrays thee? Peter saith, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is it to thee? Follow thou me. You know, Peter's all concerned about other people, and he's concerned about other stuff. But Jesus Christ shows up and offers much-needed reproof at this particular resurrection appearance. Now, to conclude this particular session, let's go to back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Not all of the resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ are recorded in the Gospels. As we saw from John chapter 20, not all of his resurrection appearances are recorded in the Bible. But we do know that there are nine that are recorded. The first one that we looked at was that to a single loving disciple named Mary Magdalene. And then he appeared next either to Peter or to the two on the road to Emmaus, but most probably the second one was to Peter, then to the two on the road to Emmaus, then concluding the 18th of Nisan, at sunset, he appeared to the 11 apostles. The one missing was Thomas Didymus. Then he appeared to the 12 in Galilee about 8 days later. And then there's a couple resurrection appearances that are only recorded here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We looked at this previously. We read as far as verse 5 where it says, and then he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, that's the one that was 8 days later in Galilee. And then here's the two that are not recorded any other place. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Wow, Jesus Christ showed himself alive after his passion to above 500 brethren at one time. That's a large group. You know, it's interesting. I was studying at the university back in Michigan when I was in college, and I took a class on the New Testament. And this man teaching, he had a class of about 300 students or so, and he was a doctor so-and-so, Dr. Anderson. He was an author and well-known theologian. And he stated in his class that the most widely held theological belief was that the resurrection of Jesus Christ was a myth. And boy, at that time, I had received enough of God's word to know that this guy was perpetrating one of the greatest lies that there is. This is not a myth. This is not a fable. This isn't just a story that was made up to make us feel good. this isn't just a representation of springtime, of everything coming alive, and it's like everything's fresh, and it's symbolic, and it's symbolized by Jesus Christ. No, you know what this is? This is reality. This is truth. There were over 500 people that saw Jesus Christ in his resurrected body all at one time. These people that saw Jesus Christ, they were not hallucinating. They weren't mental cases. They weren't druggies. These were just common folk. You know, Peter and the others, they were fishermen. They were regular people. But they all saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. Could you imagine if you went into a court of law and you had over 500 witnesses that all could testify to the same thing? I think that would establish it as being truth. Well, it is. It's the great historical truth of history, of all time, is that Jesus Christ is risen. He got up from the dead. And then another of the unrecorded in the Gospels resurrection appearances is in verse 7. After that, he was seen of James. This is the next one. He was seen of James. Now, one that's not in this particular list, but we just read about it, John 21, is he appeared to the seven that were fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And then the last one that's recorded is it says, and then of all the apostles. And this description of then all of the apostles fits very wonderfully with the day of the ascension, which is something that we will look at in our next session. And then it says in verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time. Now, this resurrection appearance, of course, was many years later to the Apostle Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. But during the 40 days between Jesus Christ's resurrection and his ascension into heaven, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to the 11, minus Thomas. He appeared 8 days later to the 12 in Galilee. He appeared to over 500 brethren at once. He appeared to the seven that were fishing on the Sea of Galilee. He appeared to James. And then the last recorded event of Jesus Christ's first coming is he appeared to all the apostles on the day of the ascension. He appeared by many infallible proofs during those 40 days, not all of which are recorded in the Bible, but nine of them are, and we've had the pleasure of looking at them. And we'll look at the last one, the day of the ascension, in our next session.